This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 23. Or just verse 23, we'll begin and end there. When persecution arose against the early church in Jerusalem, and Stephen was stoned, becoming the first martyr of the church, a fierce persecution broke out against the church at that time, which caused many in the church to flee from Jerusalem and from the severe persecution. It actually had a beneficial effect upon the church because everywhere they went, they shared their faith in Jesus Christ. And so all over now, people were hearing the gospel. Some of them fled as far as Cyprus. There were some who went as far up the coast to Antioch. And as they were sharing their faith in Christ in Antioch, many people became believers. So much so that the news of the revival in Antioch came back to the church in Jerusalem, and they heard of all of the new believers that were coming to Jesus Christ in Antioch. And so the church in Jerusalem decided to send Barnabas to Antioch to more or less check out what the Lord was doing in this city. And in verse 23, when Barnabas came to Antioch and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So he is an emissary from Jerusalem coming up to Antioch to sort of oversee this work that God is doing there. And seeing the many believers, he rejoiced in the work of God and he exhorted them, the believers, that they should purpose in their hearts to stick with the Lord. In challenging them to purpose in their hearts, he is challenging them to the deepest kind of a commitment of their lives to Jesus Christ. There are some who make a commitment to Christ, but it is a very shallow commitment. We hear sung, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Good decision. But if it's only that, just a, "Well, I'll try Jesus for 30 days on a free money back guarantee, you know. If it doesn't work, return it for full refund." And there are people who sort of just at an emotional moment because of a lot of stress or pressure, many times will say, "Oh Lord, take over my life, you know, or I give my mess to you. Do something about it if you can." And it's just an emotional escape or a mental decision. But Barnabas is calling upon them for something much more than that. That they might just purpose in their hearts that they're going to just stick with the Lord. He knew that this kind of commitment was necessary because living the Christian life is not at all easy. There are powerful forces that are opposed to your living the Christian life. The first is the world that is in rebellion against God and all of its allurements. And it is a powerful force drawing me into its web. There is my flesh and the lust and the desires of my flesh, which are a very powerful force. And the flesh is opposed to my spirit, and the spirit opposed to my flesh. These two are contrary, and there is a warfare that goes on. Am I going to yield to the desires of my flesh, which are strong and powerful, or am I going to yield to the spirit? And the flesh is seeking to draw me into its web. And then there is the devil, who is there to use the world as an attraction to my flesh, to draw me away from the things of God and to lure me into his trap. And so I find these opposing forces are strong, they're powerful, and living the Christian life is not easy, because I have to fight against the world, against my flesh, and against the devil. Therefore, if I am going to be successful, it is very important that I make a complete commitment, a deep commitment, that I purpose in my heart, I'm going to just stick with the Lord. Barnabas had no doubt seen many people in Jerusalem who had begun the Christian life, but who fell away when persecution arose. Their commitment was not complete. Jesus told us that the seed would fall on stony ground, where it would take root quickly, grow up fast, but as soon as the sun came out, it would wither and die because it didn't have any really strong root system. So are they upon whom the word of God falls and they receive it immediately with joy. But as soon as persecution arises, they wither and die. And so Barnabas had no doubt seen this in the church in Jerusalem, knowing that the Christian life is going to be difficult, knowing that it's possible that you're going to be facing heavy persecution. He said, purpose in your heart, you're going to stick with the Lord. You know, men of commitment are hard to defeat. In fact, you can't really defeat men who have made a real, true commitment. I think of Job in the Old Testament, who went through such loss of all of his goods, of his family, of his wife, who one day came to him and said, Job, why don't you just get it over with, man? Why are you hanging on? Why don't you just curse God and die? Get it over with. And then his friends who came and could not understand him. And to them one day Job said, look, fellows, even though he slays me, I'll still trust him. A lot of times people say, well, I'll trust the Lord as long as he, you know, gets me out of this mess. If he'll do this and that, then I'll trust him. And our trust in the Lord is conditional type of trust. We turn to the Lord to rescue us from our problem. But here is a man who says, look, even if he slays me, I'm still going to trust him. That's true commitment. That's a true commitment of my life to God. I am so committed to God. I am so committed to the things of the Lord that even if he should slay me, I'm still not going to turn away. I'll still trust him right unto death. Purposing in their hearts, making that full commitment. We read concerning Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that they had purposed in their hearts not to defile themselves. Now, here are four young men in their teens taken away from home to the heart of the pagan world, where every kind of enticement and opportunity was given to them to defile themselves. Everybody was doing it. But yet they purposed in their hearts they would not defile themselves. They had made that kind of a commitment unto God. And so when the time came that the king built this large golden image and demanded that at the sound of the music everybody was to bow down and worship that image, Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, whose Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, determined that they were not going to bow. They would not defile themselves. They'd already purposed that in their hearts. They had made their commitment. And so when the king ordered the music and everybody bowed down, these three fellows stood. And word came to the king, there are three young men from Israel who refused to bow and obey your order. And the king called them in. And he said, how is it that I hear that you have not bowed to the image? You've disobeyed my command. I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to ask for the music to sound once again. And if you refuse to bow, then I will throw the three of you into the burning fiery furnace. And what God is able to deliver from the burning fiery furnace. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah answered the king, hey, we're not even careful how we answer you in this matter, for the God that we serve is able to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. You see, how do you stop men with that kind of commitment? The truth of the matter is, you don't. You can't. When a person has made that kind of a commitment of their life to the Lord, there's no stopping them. They had purpose in their hearts. They would not defile themselves. And when it came down to it, even if you throw us in the fire, even if God doesn't deliver us from the fire, we'll burn rather than bow. We've made our commitment to God. It's complete. There's no turning back. There's no other considerations. We don't even have to think twice about your command. There's no way we're going to bow. We've determined, we've purposed in our hearts not to defile ourselves. What kind of a commitment have you made to God? Barnabas said, purpose in your hearts to just stick with the Lord. We think of the apostles, how that as the result of their preaching in the temple, they were arrested. And they were then brought before the Sanhedrin, who commanded them very strictly not to preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. And then they beat them. And as they went away, their backs smarting from the beating that they had received, they were rejoicing, saying, oh Lord, you're so good to us to allow us to suffer a little pain for you. And when they got back to their company, the other disciples, they told them what happened to them. And they said, let's pray that God will give us even greater boldness to preach Jesus Christ to these people. How do you stop men with that kind of commitment? You threaten them, you beat them, and all they do is rejoice that they were worthy to count suffering for Jesus, and they pray, God, give us greater boldness that we might continue to give the truth to these people. You can't stop them. Men of real commitment are unstoppable. And Barnabas is calling upon them to make that kind of a commitment. Purpose in your heart that you're just going to stick with the Lord. It's necessary that you really purpose in your heart to do it, because walking with Jesus is not walking an easy path. When you're walking with Jesus, you'll realize that there is always a cross in that path. As Jesus walked his path of life, he had to face the cross. And so everyone who follows Jesus faces the cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, my flesh cringes at the thought of the cross. My self-preservation instinct recoils against it. And with Peter, I cry out, spare thyself. No, I don't want the cross. I don't want to take that painful path to glory. I would like instant glory without the cross. And that's exactly what Satan is offering. You remember, before Jesus began his public ministry, Satan took him into a high mountain and he showed to him all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said, now, why have you come to the earth? Because you want the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Messiah. And thus, you have to pay the price on the cross. Tell you what, make you a deal. You don't have to go to the cross. I'll give to you all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory if you'll just bow down and worship me. A shortcut. You can have instant fulfillment. You can have instant glory. You don't need to go to the cross. You can have fulfillment right now. And that's exactly what Satan is saying to you today. You don't have to take the path of the cross. You don't have to deny yourself. You don't have to take up the cross. Look, you can have instant fulfillment by indulging yourself. Go for it. Look at the excitement. Look at the glamour. Look at the pleasure. Look at this. And he is holding out these baits to you and saying, look, you don't need the cross. You can shortcut the cross. You can have instant fulfillment right now. Just bow down. Worship me. Take my path. And the path of Jesus is not an easy path, because it is the path of the cross from which my flesh naturally recoils. And thus, if I haven't made a total, complete commitment. I'm going to stick with the Lord. Chances are that when these temptations are held up to me, this opportunity of instant fulfillment without the cross, I'll grab for it because my commitment has not been complete. But it is important that I face the cross, that I come to the cross, that I might be crucified with Christ, that I might become dead to my own flesh desires, and I might become dead to the world. The cross is imperative. But that takes commitment. His path is not a popular path. You will find yourself constantly going against the current of the world in which you live. There are men who are extremely clever, who have molded the thought patterns of the world. The Hugh Hefners and the Norman Lears, the Huxleys, the Deweys, the Watsons. Who have warped the value systems of man and of the world around you. And who have, in a sense, said, go for it. Indulge your flesh. Seek to fulfill your fantasies. And the world is going for it. And the restraints are off. And people are doing everything that is right in their own sight, just as they did in the days of Noah before the flood. And there are no restraints. And they look at you and they say, man, you're too narrow. You're a bigot. You're just ignorant. And the path of the cross with Jesus is not at all a popular path. It's a very straight path. It's a very narrow path. And there are few that are really walking it. In fact, Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there are that find it. So you must strive to enter in at that straight gate. You must purpose in your heart you're going to stick with the Lord, because there's going to be all kinds of pressure exerted against you to leave the Lord and to find it on your own apart from Him. And yet, His is the only true path of life. The world has a totally false concept of life. That life that the world holds up as glamorous, attractive, and desirable is a sham. Jesus is offering to you true life, eternal life. And He offers the only real hope for mankind today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You say, oh, well, that's too narrow. You surely can't believe that. Well, all paths lead to God. God surely wouldn't condemn those people. Look how sincere and religious they are. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Yes, it is a straight path. Yes, it is a narrow path. Yes, it is a tough path. And to walk it takes true commitment. Purpose in your heart, you're going to stick to the Lord. This word translated cleave is not the Greek word that is usually translated cleave. The Greek word usually translated cleave comes from a root word, kolomia, which is glue. And it means to stick as if glued. That's not the word that Barnabas used when he said cleave to the Lord. He used the prosmeno instead, which is a word that has been translated elsewhere in the New Testament as continue or abide. Now, in translating from Greek to English, when you get one of these Greek words that have several possibilities of translation, you must then, as a translator, determine what English word best or comes closest to what Barnabas was saying. And here's where you usually turn to the context, to find out in the context which word you should use in translating this Greek prosmeno. Our translators in King James chose the word cleave. However, he said to them, purpose in your heart to cleave unto the Lord. That's a good translation. I don't have any argument with it. But they could have also translated it, just purpose in your heart, you're going to continue with the Lord. That's a very good and possible translation. You see, there were a lot of them who did not continue with the Lord. They turned back when the persecution came because they hadn't made that total commitment. Or we could have translated it, purpose in your heart that you're going to abide with the Lord. I'm going to live with this. This is the way I have set the course of my life. I plan no deviations. I'm just going to abide with the Lord. I'm going to cleave unto the Lord. I'm going to continue with the Lord. And no matter how you translate it, they all are excellent translations. Commitment. He's calling upon the people to make that commitment. And once you make that commitment, there's no second thoughts. There's no turning back. I have made a total commitment of my life. I am purposed in my heart. I'm going to stick with the Lord. I don't even consider any other alternative. It's not even in my mind, not even in the slightest, would I entertain any other concept than just sticking with the Lord. For in reality, if we did not, where in the world could you turn? Jesus, when he was with his disciples, was making some statements that they were having some problems with. And after he made some of these statements, many of them turned and no longer followed him. And Jesus turned to those that were left and he said, "Are you fellows going to leave too?" And Peter said, "Where can we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life." And you see, if I don't stick with the Lord, there's no place else to go. I'm committed to him. I don't even consider any other way. He has the words of eternal life. It pays to stick with him. Shall we pray? Father, we have purpose today in our hearts. This is it. We're going to continue with you. We're going to abide with you. We're going to stick with you, Lord. For you alone have the words of eternal life. You alone have brought us hope. I pray, Father, for those today who still have not made that total commitment, who are trying to hold on to you with one hand and hold on to the world with the other hand, who are trying to live in the middle on the fence. Oh God, help them today to get off the fence, to jump in all the way, total commitment, that they might purpose in their hearts to just stick with you. In Jesus' name, Father, do this work in their hearts now. Amen. When I was a little child, even before the Andrews sisters were popular, in our children's church, we used to sing a song, "Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to make a purpose firm, and dare to make it known." Challenge to commitment. I made a commitment. I have and never will swerve from it. I've purposed in my heart to just stick with the Lord. How complete has been your commitment to him? The Lord is calling you today to really purpose in your heart. Hey, Lord, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to continue with you. Even though you slay me, I'll still trust you. Even though things get worse, still going to trust you, Lord. For I know that you're able to deliver me, but even if you don't, I still won't change. You're stuck with me, Lord, like it or not, because I'm sticking with you. You know, you can make that kind of a commitment right now. You can just say, "Lord, I put my life and my future in your hands. And I'm just going to stick with you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to walk with you. My life and all of the things that surround me, Lord, are now in your hands for you to control and to guide. And Lord, my destiny is all wrapped up with you. It's in your hands today. You bring into my life whatever you want." Oh, let me tell you, this is the most peaceful way to live you can ever imagine. It is so glorious living this way. Because nothing happens to me but what God has allowed it to happen. And if He allowed it to happen, He has a reason and a purpose for allowing it. And so I can accept it. Have you made that total commitment? Or are you hanging on to parts here and there? God help us to make that commitment today.